ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वो श्रीमद् भगवत गीता चैप्टर 8, चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड अटेनिंग द सुप्रीम, टेक्स्ट नंबर 1। अर्जुन उवाच, किं तद् ब्रह्म किमध्यात्मम्, किं कर्म पुरुषोत्तम, अधिभूतं च किं प्रोक्तम्, अधिदैवं किमुच्यते। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन, अर्जुन एन्क्वायर्ड, ओ माय लॉर्ड, ओ सुप्रीम पर्सन, what is brahman, what is the self, what are fruitive activities, what is this material manifestation, and what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. Purport. In this chapter, Lord Krishna answers different questions from Arjuna, beginning with what is brahman. The Lord also explains karma, fruitive activities, devotional service, and yoga principles, and devotional service in its pure form. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the supreme absolute truth is known as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. In addition, the living entity, the individual soul, is also called Brahman. Arjuna also inquires about Atma, which refers to body, soul, and mind. According to the Vedic dictionary, Atma refers to the mind, soul, body, and senses also. Arjuna has addressed the Supreme Lord as Purushottam, Supreme Person, which means that he was putting these questions not simply to a friend, but to the Supreme Person, knowing him to be the supreme authority, able to give definitive answers. So welcome the devotees for the evening Bhagavad Gita class. So today we are going to discuss from the chapter 8, text number 1-4. So in this chapter, the first two verses, Arjuna is asking questions, and then in response to Arjuna's question, Krishna is giving the answers. So in the very first verse, Arjuna is asking the question, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the self? What are fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? What are the demigods? Please explain this to me. So Arjuna is basically asking a series of questions, both in the first verse and in the second verse. So one thing we can understand is that the spiritual life, one need not follow something blindly. Many times when people actually come to spirituality, when they take to spirituality, like many people have the assumption, they think that, oh, spirituality has to be followed blindly, without asking any questions. Especially the younger generation, or for that matter, anybody. Like when they ask the elders about like why we should do these rituals, why we should follow this puja, etc. Then when the elder generation, they do not have the right answers, they simply say, oh, we have been doing this since many generations, so please you also do this. Because the younger generation, they are trained in the scientific background, they are studying science, etc. Then they think that, oh, the spirituality is to be followed blindly. They feel that, oh, we don't have to that we are not supposed to ask questions, we have to simply follow blindly, there are no answers to these questions. Then they actually lose faith in the process. But then, here actually we see, in fact throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is asking several questions to Arjuna. So that means, Arjuna did not accept Krishna's conclusion blindly. Every now and then, Arjuna puts forward different questions. Then when Arjuna completely got convinced, then he actually surrendered to Krishna. And he followed the process of Krishna consciousness. So similarly, one need not accept the spirituality blindly. In fact, Krishna says in the 18th chapter, after speaking the Bhagavad Gita, he says that adyeshyate cha ya imam dharmyam samvadam avayo jnana yagyena tenaham ishtasyam iti me madihi. Krishna says that one who studies this sacred conversation which happened between me and Arjuna, he is actually worshipping me by his intelligence. So Krishna does not recommend blind following. In fact, Krishna is appreciating a person who studies the conversation between him and Arjuna with his intelligence. So similarly, we can see that we also can follow in the footsteps of Arjuna. But one thing, when we put forward questions to a person, one must know that to whom one should put forward the questions. Like suppose, if you want to study engineering, you should go to the College of Engineering where there are professors who teach engineering. You should not go to a medical college and say that I want to study electrical engineering. So similarly, if one wants to actually learn spirituality, one should go to a person who is actually learned in the spiritual knowledge. So here, Arjuna is actually addressing Krishna by the word Purushottam, the Supreme Person. So Arjuna is asking these questions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is not asking this question to any ordinary person who does not know these things. So similarly, we may not have direct contact of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then, we have contact of the devotees of Krishna who are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when we approach the devotees for the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will get the same answer, we will get the same benefit as Arjuna got the benefit by actually asking from Krishna. So there is no, we do not lack anything because we have the representatives of the Lord Krishna who come in one of these four sampradayas: Brahma Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya and Rudra Sampradaya. Just like you want to study engineering or arts or commerce or anything, you have to go to a college which is recognized by the All India Council of Technical Education. It has to be recognized by the government of India. So similarly, if one wants to get spiritual knowledge, one should go to the proper institute in which the spiritual knowledge is coming in the disciplic succession. In fact, Krishna talks about this disciplic succession in the fourth chapter. Previously we have talked about Krishna, like many times, suppose when parents want to takes admission for their children in a school. So when they want to take admission for the children in a school, one would want to know how good is the school is. The school has to be a good school so that the children who get education from this school, they will get a good education, they will go to a better position in the society. So one of the measures by which we can, parameters to check the school is to see who all have passed out from the school, who all are the alumni from the school. Like, I remember that when I was studying, like, in the college, so they started, like, we have an annual alumni day. Like in IIT, they had the annual alumni day in which they invite those students who have passed out from the college, and especially those people who are in good positions, and then they invite them, and then they address the students, not only on the alumni day time and again throughout the year, and on the day of convocation, like they especially invite some distinguished alumni who have done great achievements. Because when people hear about those alumni who got great achievements, who passed out from the school or college, then they get more inspiration to study in the college. So similarly, Krishna is telling about the alumni who have passed out from this Gita School of Technology. Bhagavad Gita School of Technology, in the fourth chapter, he says, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Praktavan Aham Avyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bravit. Krishna said that I imparted this knowledge originally to the sun god Vivasvan. So the CEO of the sun planet is an alumni of the Gita School of Technology. Many times people want to know that spirituality is meant for people who do not have any ambition in their life, who lost all interest in their life. Maybe such people take to spirituality. People have this kind of notion. But then here we see Krishna is telling the alumni of the Gita School of Technology is the CEO of Sun Planet, Vivasvan. Sun Planet is controlling all other planets by giving heat and light. The Sun God, who is in charge of the Sun Planet, he is a student of Gita. And then Vivasvan, and then his own son, Maharaj Ikshvaku. So in this way, so many great kings, they were all students of Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, this knowledge is coming in the disciplic succession. So when a person asks a person who comes in this disciplic succession, who is trained in the spiritual knowledge, then he can get answers to these questions. So that is why Arjuna is actually addressing Krishna by the word Purushottam, the Supreme Person. So Arjuna is not just approaching a friend, but then he is approaching the Supreme Person to get answers. So then the next verse. So Arjuna wants to know what is Brahman. So he wants to know whether it refers to Jiva, the living entity, or the Paramatma, the super soul living in the heart. And then he asks the question, what is Adhyatma? He wants to know whether Adhyatma means whether it refers to the physical body or the subtle body, or what does it mean? And then he wants to know what is Karma? Karma means whether it means fruitive activity or spiritual activity. Whether both are same. If fruitive activity and spiritual activity are same, then why should I fight? Both are same. And then he's asking more questions. Then in the next verse, he's asking the question, Adi yagya katam kotra dehesmin madhusudana prayana kalecha katam geyosi niyatatma bihi. Arjuna is asking, who is the Lord of Sacrifice? Adi Yajna. Who is the Lord of Sacrifice? And how does he live in the body? O Madhusudana. And how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? So if we see this Arjuna's questions, one may wonder, why does actually Arjuna ask these questions? Because in the previous chapter, in the seventh chapter, in the last two verses, Krishna used these same terms, Adi Yajna, Adi Bhuta, Brahman, Adhyatma, Karma, etc. So immediately Arjuna wants to know, what are these terms? Can you please explain these terms in more detail? So we can see Arjuna is very inquisitive and he is very attentive. Attentively hearing to Krishna's instructions. As soon as Krishna used some terms, he immediately wants to know. Can you please tell me what are these terms? Can you explain? So similarly, when a person wants to know spiritual knowledge, one should attentively hear. Not only one should attentively hear, one should actually, when a person has some doubts, he can immediately ask those doubts. Just like Arjuna asked this. And then in the second verse, Arjuna is actually using the word Madhusudana to address Krishna. So Madhusudana, so there was a demon called Madhu. So this Madhu demon, he actually stole the Vedas. So Krishna appeared and he killed this Madhu demon and he retrieved the Vedic knowledge. This Madhu and Kaitabha, they stole the Vedic knowledge from the heart of Brahma. Just like sometimes, like that time, Vedic knowledge was not in written format. It was there just in the heart of Brahma. They stole from the heart of Brahma. It's like sometimes like people hack the computers. Like there are people called who are hackers. They hack into the software of the computers. And then like the whole computers, they break down. Then people, nobody is able to work. They hack the inner software of the computers. Similarly, these two demons, Madhu and Kaitabha, they entered the heart of Brahma and then stole the Vedic knowledge. And then Supreme Lord appeared and retrieved the Vedic knowledge. So Arjuna is using the word Madhusudana to imply, he's saying that just like you killed the demon Madhu, similarly, you please kill this demon of doubt from my heart. So doubts are also like demons. So when a person has a particular doubt, and then when he does not get clarified, so because of that doubt, he will not be able to practice the spiritual process, Krishna consciousness, with wholeheartedly. Because the doubt is actually pulling, keeping him within, that maybe if I take to this, I will have to follow so many things. Maybe I will not get this result. So I will not take to this process. So he is having that doubt. So then because of that, he is not able to take up the process wholeheartedly. So that is like eating away one's inclination to take up the process. So one thing you must know is that nobody can force a living entity to take up a particular process. We cannot force you to take up, even Krishna does not force a living entity to take up Krishna consciousness. He only gives the facilities. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai. So nobody can force you. So then, why not actually, if nobody can force you, why not actually try to inquire about this process? So many times people think spirituality is blind following. But then, like you should also not blindly reject spirituality. People say, oh, you are following everything blindly, so I don't want to accept anything from the spirituality, I don't want to follow anything. But then, you should also not blindly reject. If you are blindly rejecting, that is also another kind of blind faith, isn't it? Scientists, they don't want to read the scriptures, they don't want to take up to the religion. They feel, oh, it is all something, like you have to follow blindly. But then they are blindly rejecting. That is another kind of blind faith. So Arjuna is openly asking this doubts. He's saying these doubts are like demons. So please kill this demon of doubt. So he is asking the question, Adi Yajna. Who is the Adi Yajna? Who is the Lord of Sacrifice? Is he Vishnu or a demigod? Because in the Vedic scriptures, many sacrifices are prescribed. One should perform this sacrifice if one wants to fulfill this particular desire. One should perform this sacrifice to worship this particular demigod, Indra, to worship, to fulfill this desire. So, in the Vedic scriptures, the mention of Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is found very rarely, because 99% of the Vedic scriptures are what is known as Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. In the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, basically the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas contain many instructions for performing different sacrifices by which we can fulfill our material desires. So those section of the Vedas, they only talk about different demigods. You perform sacrifice to please this particular demigod. Especially they mention about Lord Indra. So you will find very little mention of Lord Krishna. You will find more mention of Lord Indra in those sections. So one may get the question, then that means Lord Indra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Indra's name is mentioned more times, but then Krishna's name is not mentioned at all. So it is, consider this simple example. Suppose in a prison house, there is a prison manual, prisoner's manual. In the prisoner's manual, you will find more mention of the name of the superintendent of the prison house. You will find very little mention of the president of the country. Isn't it? You will say that if you do not follow this particular rule, the superintendent will give this punishment. If you follow these particular rules, superintendent will be pleased, he will give you this reward. So you will find in the prisoner's manual, you will find more mention of the superintendent and very less mention of the president of the country. But then that does not mean that the superintendent is greater than the president, isn't it? So similarly, in the original Vedic scriptures, you will find more mention of these demigods' names, like Indra, Chandra, etc. But less mention of Krishna's name. So one may get the question, is Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Indra? So that is why Arjuna is asking the question, who is the Lord of sacrifice? Is he Lord Vishnu or Indra? So then, the next question he is asking is, how can those people engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? So death is considered to be like the final exam. In fact, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was asked by Yaksharaj, he asked that, what is the most surprising thing in the world? Yudhishthira Maharaj said, the most surprising thing in the world is, although every person is seeing all others are dying, but then still every person thinks that I am not going to die, I am going to live forever. So people hardly worry about death. But then death does not wait anybody. One has to prepare oneself for death. In fact, actually great people are afraid of death. Once a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he told Srila Prabhupada that there were two great richest people called Paul Getty and Howard Hughes. The disciple said that this Paul Getty and Howard Hughes died recently. And then this disciple told Srila Prabhupada about this Howard Hughes. This Howard Hughes was such a great billionaire, and he was so afraid of death that he would stay in a compartment, he would stay in a house which would be completely sterilized. And he would wear food which is checked thoroughly, which is free of all germs. If a servant wants to approach Howard Hughes to serve him, he has to go through many doors and he has to wear sterile clothes. Because he was so much afraid of the germs, that he was so much afraid of death, that he wanted to have complete protection. But then still he died. And Srila Prabhupada commented that this person, Howard Hughes, is afraid of the germs which are outside, but then he did not know that there are so many germs which are inside the body. So one way we so much afraid of death, one way trying to protect himself through so many measures, but then death does not wait for a person. So many times people think that, okay, like this is not the time to take spirituality. I can take the spirituality much later. I have so many years. I will take up the spirituality after 50 years or 60 years. But then the point is that nobody knows when you are going to die. Death can come at any time. The life expectancy rate, which is calculated, it's not calculated in a proper way. To calculate the life expectancy, those people who calculate, they actually make survey of those people who have actually got life insurance. And then those people who have got life insurance, they analyze only those people, and then they come to the conclusion, okay, life expectancy rate is this much. But then in India, there are like 110 crore people are there. But out of that, only some 6 or 7 crore people are insured. They've got life insurance. So based on those 6 crore people, they actually, these insurance people, they calculate the life expectancy rate. So it is not the right statistic. If one wants to actually take into consideration to find out what is the mortality rate, one has to calculate all the 100 crore people. So people think, okay, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live for 60 years or 70 years. So I will take up to spirituality later. But then one has to take up to spirituality very soon. Because nobody knows when you are going to die. Like there is a story of a merchant. He was traveling in a ship, and then he lost all his wealth. And then he was swimming in the ocean, and then he was looking for shelter. And then he came across an island. And he saw that there are like hundreds and thousands of people are waiting for somebody. And as soon as he reached the island, all these people, they welcomed him, and then they actually coronated him as the king of the island. And he was completely bewildered. That why are these people coronating me as the king of the island? And later he asked the minister, like, what is this? Why did you make me as the king of an island? Then the minister said, in our island, we have a tradition. The tradition is that every 5 years, on one particular day, we actually come to the shore of the island. Whoever actually comes to the island, we make him as the king of the island for 5 years. Then after 5 years get over, then we throw the king into this desolate forest. To be eaten by the animals and jackals and foxes. So then this king, he got bewildered. Oh, that means I am going to be the king only for 5 years. After 5 years, they are going to put me in this desolate forest. Then he immediately called the minister. He told the minister in his ear, so we do this thing. Minister said, but then it is impossible. But then king said, no, I am the king. You have to follow my order. You should do this. So then minister followed his order. Then the 5 years got over. the day in which the king was supposed to be thrown into the desolate forest came. So then all the citizens came, and then they put him into the forest. And when they went to the the king went to that place, the minister was cheering for the king, because the whole forest was converted into a beautiful city by the king within those 5 years. So the moral of the story is, all of us, we have got a human body. This body is like that island. And the soul which is living in the within the body is like the merchant. So the merchant who came to that island, he knew that he only has 5 years to live in the island as the king. So similarly, when the soul, when we take shelter of this human body, we know that we have got only some few years to live. We don't know how many years. It may be 30 years or 40 years or 50 years or 60 years. So within that many years, we have to prepare our life in order to get a better destination. Just like the king prepared, he used those 5 years in order to get a better destination. He converted that forest into the city, so that after the 5 years got over, he can live a comfortable life even in that city, which was previously a forest. So similarly, one should prepare one's life so that at the time of death, one can actually remember the Supreme Lord, and then ultimately one can go back to Godhead. So in this way, one should prepare one's life. So then, in the next verse, the third and fourth verse, Krishna answers the questions of Arjuna. So Krishna says, Aksharam Brahma Paramam Swabhavo Dhyatma Muchyate Bhutabhavo Dbhavakaro Visarga Karma Samyitaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the indestructible, transcendental living entity is called Brahman. And his eternal nature is called Adhyatma, the Self. Action pertaining to the development of the material bodies of the living entities is called Karma or fruitive activities. So, Krishna is saying, the indestructible, transcendental living entity is called Brahman. So the soul, soul is actually indestructible. It cannot be killed by any of the weapons. We already, if you attend the Gita classes, in the second chapter, we had seen how Krishna said, Achedyoyam adahyoyam akledyo shoshayevacha. He said this, soul cannot be cut into pieces by any of the weapons made of fire, water, air, ether, etc. Krishna repeatedly said the soul is indestructible. That indestructible living entity is known as Brahman. And his eternal nature is called as Adhyatma. His eternal nature is called Adhyatma. What is the eternal nature of the living entity? So the eternal nature of the living entity is to actually serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our eternal nature. When the living entity is there in the material world, he wants to be the lord of the material nature. He wants to enjoy the material world. But then, our original nature is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we can really get happiness. But then, when we try to enjoy independently from God, then we can only get some temporary happiness, and that will also result in frustration. A simple example, like Prabhupada would often give this example of fish. When the fish is taken outside the water, and how much ever facilities you may give in to the fish, by giving a comfortable house, a bed, AC, etc., the fish cannot be satisfied. But then when you put the fish within the water, then the fish will be automatically satisfied. Similarly, when the living entity serves the Supreme Personality, God will be completely satisfied. So, what is karma? Karma means the action pertaining to the development of material bodies is known as karma. So when a person performs activities in the material body, having got this material body, so by performing the actions, we get certain reactions. So based on those particular activities, we develop a particular consciousness. And based on that consciousness, based on those activities, we have particular consciousness at the time of death, and that will result in a different body after in the next life. So these actions, they create a particular body. So these actions which pertains to the development of material body is known as karma. So one has to see to it that we perform the right kind of activity. People are actually trying to perform different activities in order to enjoy in order to lord it over material nature. But then this time is very precious. One should not waste one time. One should utilize the time in order to advance in the spiritual platform. Like one devotee was giving a small anecdote how the time is actually very precious. It is said, for a student who has failed, 1 year is very precious. Because when a student fails, then he has to again give the exam after 1 year. 1 year is very precious for a student who has failed. 1 month is very precious for a mother who is pregnant. Because she goes through so much of labor pain and so much of trouble in carrying the child. Even if he's told you have to carry the child for 1 more month, it's like a big thing for a pregnant lady. And for a person who is the editor of a weekly magazine, 1 week is very precious. If he just falls sick for 1 week or something, then how will he actually run the magazine? So 1 week is very precious for an editor. And 1 day is precious for a laborer who is working on the basis of daily wage. If he misses 1 day, he loses that salary for that day. He cannot eat properly. And 1 hour is precious for a lover. If a lover is supposed to meet his beloved, if he comes late by 1 hour, that is precious. See, he or she will think, she has ditched me. And 1 minute is precious for a person who is catching a local train. He's supposed to go to Bayander or some particular local train. He misses that particular local, say Ambernath or something, and he has to wait for another 15 minutes or half an hour. And 1 second is precious for a person who actually meets with an accident. Just by the neglect of 1 second, the driver dozes off for 1 second and then he meets with an accident. And 1 microsecond is precious for an athlete. Just by the 1 microsecond, he may actually lose his position. So similarly, this time is very precious. So one has to utilize this time very properly. If a person invests even very short time in spiritual life, that will actually give great results. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think in one purport in the second canto, Srila Prabhupada explains that when a person gives in charity, if a person gives in charity to an unqualified person, then he will get at least that much amount in return in the next life. If a person gives in charity to a half-qualified brahmana, then he will get at least twice the amount in return. One should know charity is actually given to a proper person. Krishna actually talks about three kinds of charity in the 17th chapter. He says that, what is that verse? He says that charity should be given at a proper time, proper place, proper circumstance to a proper person. So if you give charity to a half-qualified Brahmana, you will get double the amount in return. If you give charity to a qualified Brahmana, you will get hundreds of times in return. And if you give charity to a devotee of the Supreme Lord, who knows the conclusions of the Vedas, you will get millions of amount in return in the next life or in this life. Just like charity given to a person at least gives that much amount in return or more, depending on the person to whom you give charity. Similarly, even a moment invested in hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord will give millions of amount, millions of benefit. It will give huge spiritual benefit to a living entity. Just like charity given to a qualified person, to a devotee of the Lord, will give millions of amount in return. Similarly, even a moment invested in hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord will give countless benefit to a living entity. So then, that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, Lord Shiva is saying that he is giving an example. Sayesha lokan ati chanda vego. He says that this time factor is so powerful that it is actually destroying every living entity. People do not understand that this, people may say that I don't believe in God. I don't believe that God exists. But then, although one may not believe in God, but then God in the form of time is destroying every living entity. A frog is killed by the snake, and snake is eaten by the mongoose. Mongoose is eaten by other living entities. So similarly, one living entity is eaten by another living entity. But all this arrangement is actually arranged by the Supreme Lord in the form of time. So the time is actually unseen, but then by seeing the activities which are happening in the material world, we can understand the presence of time. The great kings and presidents and big civilizations are destroyed by time. So Lord Shiva gives a simple example. He says, just like sometimes we see huge clouds, but then these clouds are shattered by winds. But then can you see the wind? You cannot see the wind. Wind is invisible. But although the wind is invisible, but the wind shatters the clouds. So similarly, although time is invisible, but time is destroying every living entity. So we have to be very conscious. Death can come at any time. So we have to prepare our life so that we can remember Krishna at the time of death. He gives another example. He says, Pramattamuchchairitikritya chintaya pravruddalobam visayeshu lalasam tvam apramattas sahasabipadyase kshulle lihano hirivaku mantaka. Lord Shiva is saying, Pramattam, matta means mad. Pramatta means one who is sufficiently mad. Pramattam uchair iti kritya chintaya. All living entities in this material world, they are mad after material things. Pravruddha lobam vishayeshu lalasam. They want to lord it over material nature. They want to enjoy the material world. They are greedy after material sense gratification. Vishayeshu Lalasam. But then he says, Tvam Apramatta. Pramatta means sufficiently mad. Apramatta means one is completely transcendental. When you add ab before pramatta, it means he is not mad. He is perfectly clear. He is perfectly intelligent. So Lord Shiva is saying, you are apramatta. You are completely transcendental. Tvam apramatta sahasabhi padyase. People are greedy and they are trying to enjoy material sense gratification. But you, all of a sudden, you actually remove all the material sense gratification of the living entity. And then you come in the form of time and kill the living entity. You take away everything. He gives the example, just like a snake seizes a mouse and very easily swallows him. A mouse may make a nice dwelling, it may make like a nice house, etc. Then snake comes suddenly and then takes away the mouse, eats the mouse and goes away. So similarly, we may be like building so many, taking so much, making so much of arrangement for the sense gratification, but Lord comes and takes away everything in the form of time. We believe that God does not exist, but then you may not believe it, but then Krishna comes in the form of time and takes away everything. Like there was one very famous cardiologist. He was so famous, this cardiologist, he wanted to build a big hospital. He started building a big cardiac hospital for treating those people who get cardiac arrest. And he actually made such arrangements that as soon as a person gets a cardiac arrest, this hospital will supply the helicopter. That helicopter will go to that particular building, and from the terrace of the building, that patient who gets the cardiac arrest will take that person and then bring to the hospital, and then that helicopter will contain all the facilities for treating that cardiac arrest patient within the helicopter, and then it will bring it to the hospital and then make all arrangements so that a patient can be treated immediately. So he wanted to build such an hospital that it will be world famous for treating cardiac patients. But then, this particular doctor himself, he got cardiac arrest. And he told his assistants, you do this, you give this particular medicine, etc. But then, before he could be taken to the hospital, he died. He could not be saved. Ultimately, that hospital converted into a different hospital. Recently, it was opened. So we see that people are trying to make so much of arrangements for sense gratification, but Krishna comes in the form of time and takes away everything. So Lord Shiva is giving another example how Krishna in the form of time takes away everything. Lord Shiva says that Srishtam Svashakyedam Anupravishtas Chatur Vidam Puram Atmam Shakena Ato Vidustam Purusham Santamantar Bungte Rishikair Madhusara Gamya. Lord Shiva says, you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by your own energy, you enter within the creation in the form of super soul and also in the form of four kinds of living entities. What are these four kinds of living entities? The living entities are born either through the eggs or through embryo, or they are born through seeds. Like trees and plants are born through the seeds. And like there are animals which are born through eggs. There are living entities who are born from the embryo. And there are living entities which are born through perspiration, shvedaja. So Lord Shiva is saying, you enter the creation in the form of these four kinds of living entities and also the super soul. As the super soul, you are situated in the heart of every living entity. And as the super soul, you know the desires and inclinations of every living entity. but how the living entity is trying to enjoy the material nature. And then he says that you are trying to fulfill the desires of the living entity who are trying to enjoy this material world. And this enjoyment of these living entities is just like the enjoyment of the honeybee. Interesting analogy. If we see the example of a honeybee goes to different flowers and then collects honey from different flowers, and then it actually makes the beehive honeycomb. And then after making the honeycomb, it wants to enjoy the honeycomb, honey. And then when it wants to enjoy the honeycomb, that time it is being bitten by other honeybees. So it is not able to enjoy the honeycomb exclusively. It also goes through the suffering of bites of the other honeybees simultaneously. So that is the nature of this world. We want to enjoy, but then we also have to go through suffering simultaneously. Just like when a person, it may be a graphic example, when a person goes to pass stool, you cannot avoid pass urine. So similarly, when a person wants to enjoy something, you cannot avoid misery. Yes, like when honeybee, they collect honey, and then when it wants to enjoy, it is not able to enjoy exclusively. It is also being bitten by other living entities. Also goes through suffering simultaneously. Similarly, human beings, they want to create a society. They want to create they are creating a huge society. They are building a huge nation for the common enjoyment of all living entities by building huge parks and malls, etc. But then, after they make these big cities and big malls, then they also go through the suffering in the form of wars from other nations. Other nations attack these nations, then they cannot exclusively enjoy. They also have to go through the suffering from other living entities. So that is the nature of the world. So then, just take a few more minutes and then wind up. So then, in the next verse, Krishna answers, what is adibhuta? Adibhuta means the material manifestation. The physical nature which is constantly changing, that is called the material nature. And then Adidaiva means the conception of the universal form of the Supreme Lord, which includes all the demigods, all the living entities, all the planets. The Virata Roop, Vishwaroop. So that universal form, that is known as Adidaiva. But then the source of the universal form is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People think that universal form is the highest. But then the universal form is meant for less intelligent people. Because less intelligent people think that God means he has to be something great. He has to be huge. His form should be huge. How can this two-handed form of Krishna, who is just playing flute and is like an ordinary cowherd, but how can he be the Supreme Lord? One may wonder. So for such kind of people, they are recommended to worship the universal form of the Lord. Because they think that God means like he has to be something huge, gigantic. So this universal form of the Lord contains all the demigods. It contains thousands of forms, thousands of legs and this thing. So because it is like huge, so people, less intelligent people think, oh, this must be God. But then this universal form is actually the manifestation of Supreme Lord only. So he is like in the Srimad Bhagavatam again, in the second canto, like Sukadeva Goswami describes this universal form of the Lord. So by describing the universal form of the Lord, is saying that Lord is greater than the greatest. Anor Aniyam Mahato Mahiyan. There are two characteristics. Lord is greater than the greatest and smaller than the smallest. In order to show that how God is greater than the greatest, he is describing this universal form of the Lord. How the universal form of the Lord has got thousands of forms, it contains all the demigods, etc. And then after describing the universal form, he is telling in a particular verse, he says that one should concentrate his mind upon the supreme personality of Godhead, who alone distributes himself in so many manifestations, just as ordinary persons create thousands of manifestations in dreams. Although he describes the universal form of the Lord in so many verses, but then in the concluding verse, he says that one should meditate on the universal, one should meditate on the personality of Godhead, who is actually who distributes himself in the form of this universal form. So although he describes the universal form, ultimately he recommends worship of the personal form of the Lord. And then in the next chapter, second canto, second chapter, he describes how the Lord is smaller than the smallest. So he describes the super soul, how the Lord is situated as super soul in everyone's heart. And how by meditating on the super soul, one goes to what destination he will get. But then, after describing the super soul and after describing the benefits of meditation on the super soul, again in the concluding verses, he describes how the personality of Godhead is greater than the super soul. He says, Bhagavan Brahma Katsyena Trir Anviksha Manishaya Tad Adhyavasyat Kutasto Ratir Atman Yato Bhavet. He says that Lord Brahma, he studied all the three Vedas scrutinizingly three times. Vedic literature contains how many verses? 1 lakh multiplied by 1 lakh verses. 10^10, that many number of verses. We don't have that much time to study them. Lord Brahma studied all the 10^10 verses. 1 lakh times 1 lakh verses. How did he study? Scrutinizingly, with full concentration and with full attention and with full deliberation. How many times he studied? 3 times he studied. When he studied for the first time, he came to the conclusion that karma kanda section, performing fruitive activities, is the conclusion of the Vedas. But then he was still not satisfied. Then he studied a second time. When he studied second time, he concluded that Jnanakanda section, or the philosophical search into the absolute truth, that is the conclusion of the Vedas. And then still he was not satisfied. Then he studied for the third time. Then he came to the conclusion that conclusion of the Vedas is to develop attraction towards the personality of Godhead. So then he came to that conclusion. The conclusion of the Vedas is to develop attraction to the personality of Godhead. So that is the, in that way Krishna answers the seventh question, last question. He says that last question of Arjuna is that how does one know God at the time of death? How does those people engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? For that Krishna says that if he worship me, if a person understands me as the governing principle behind Adi Daiva, Adhyatma and Adi Yajna, if one person knows me to be the origin of the universal form of the Lord and to be the origin of the super soul, that is Adi Yajna, then if one knows me, knows this particular point, that I am the personal form of the Lord, is greater than even the universal form and greater than even the super soul, and such a person can actually get the ultimate perfection at the time of death. So All one has to do is simply chant the holy name. Huh? One has to chant this Hare Krishna mantra daily. Huh? So this Hare Krishna mantra may seem to be very simple. Just like once a thief went to Africa and he went to an Indian's house. So then he put a gun at this Indian and he threatened this Indian, "You give me all the money, then I will leave you. Otherwise, I will kill you." So this Indian, he gave 2 500 rupees note. So then this African thief said, "Only this much you are giving me?" "Yes, only two notes. I want more." Then the Indian went inside and kept this 2 500 rupees note. And then he brought a bunch of 1 rupee notes. 100 1 rupee notes. And he gave the thief. Thief said, "Okay, now I will leave you." And he took that bunch of 100 1 rupee notes. 100 rupees and then he left. So the point is, many times people think that we have to chant just Hare Krishna. People think, oh, spiritual life means you have to follow so many rituals. You have to perform so many sacrifices. You have to perform so many austerities. They consider rituals to be great. Just like the thief considered this 100 1 rupee note to be greater than this 200 500 rupees note. And chanting Hare Krishna may seem to be simple, just like 2 500 rupees note, but it is more valuable than the rituals. So all of you, you can just, if you are not chanting Hare Krishna, you can go to the stall, you can take a beads, you can chant Hare Krishna, you can start chanting, you can just spend, say, half an hour, you can spend 4 rounds chanting Hare Krishna mantra every day. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. When you take to the process, you can feel the difference. If you are chanting already, then you can try to increase. Prabhupada said, if a person simply chants 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra and follows the 4 regulative principles, one can go back to Godhead in this very lifetime. So if you are chanting 2 rounds or 4 rounds, you can gradually increase towards 16 rounds, steadily. If you are not chanting, you can start chanting. If you are already chanting 16 rounds, you can improve the quality of the chanting and continue to chant. So in this way, one can actually, it's a very practical process. By following this process, we can prepare ourselves to remember Krishna at the time of death. So I'll stop here. So anybody has any one question, we'll take it. Otherwise, so if anybody has any other question, newcomers. Okay. So his question is that Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Arjuna understood the Gita in a different way, but Dhritarashtra understood in a different way. Why is it so? So, no, those who come in the disciplic tradition, they do not interpret. They actually give the message as it is. Yeah.
So, those who are interpreting in a harmonic manner, is that right or wrong?
They never interpret. Interpret is you are giving your own meaning. They just give as it is.
No, but while someone hears something, he will interpret in his manner.
No. When a person hears the knowledge as it is, then he will, if a person follows it properly, he will get the same result as Arjuna. Arjuna surrendered to Krishna at the time of after hearing the Gita. So similarly, when a person hears the knowledge as it is, from the person who comes to the bona fide disciple succession, he will also become a devotee of Krishna. So many Gitas are there before Prabhupada wrote the Gita. Nobody became a devotee of Krishna after reading those Gita. But then when people read the Bhagavad Gita as it is, then so many hundreds of people became devotees of Krishna. So when a person reads as it is and then tries to, wants to follow it, then he will definitely become a devotee of Krishna. Nantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.